This is a digital Dharma mission recording. All our podcasts are in the public domain. For more information and to support, please visit www.digitaldharmamission.com. Dukkha as seen by wise men. Written by Venerable Mahasi Sayadaw. Read by Rojin Yip. In this human world, even though a man feels that he is quite happy, he is actually burdened by his khandhas, which he has to feed and nurture all his life. This, in itself, is misery. This will be more apparent when he falls sick. A man who has nothing to do with him would not care to nurse him. Of course, he may hire a nurse to look after him by paying attendance fees. But even then, it is doubtful if she can attend to him every day for a length of time, even when he continues paying her huge sums of money. When we speak of the life of devas, we may not be able to say with certainty because we have never seen them. But we consider them enjoying a sensuous life. They too will have the dukkha of satisfying their sensual desires. The king of devas is reputed to have many female attendants, but he may not be able to satisfy their wants and desires all the time. When they remain unfulfilled, misery will get the better of the devas. Brahmas do not live in sensuality. But even then, they will have the trouble with their conditioning volitional activities, sankhara, for they are always busy whiling away their time in thinking this or that as they carry the burden of their khandhas. A wise man or yogi considers this state of affairs as dukkha or suffering. If one were to sit the whole day long without doing anything, one would feel weary. If one were to be sitting and ruminating for a month, one would feel miserable. Then what shall we say about those Brahmas sitting up for hundreds or thousands of years doing nothing but cogitating? Consider that this cogitation lasts for eons. This is sankhara dukkha, the misery of indulging in mental activities. When a Brahma dies, he again gets into the world of human beings which is waiting for him with all the concomitants of human miseries. When circumstances are not favorable, even a Brahma can be reborn, an animal or a pitta. Or he may go down to the nether worlds, if worse comes to the worst. So from the point of view of a wise man or a yogi, the state of being a Brahma is unenviable, for he too has to bear the brunt of the five khandhas which portend dukkha. So on the eve of Parinibbana, the arahants used to contemplate, "For how long shall I be shouldering this burden of the khandhas which portend suffering?" Bhava Tanha. Having dealt with Kama Tanha, I now come to Bhava Tanha. There are two wrong views held by worldlings about life. One is called Sasata Ditti, eternalistic view of existence, while the other is Uccheda Ditti, nihilistic view of existence. Bhava Tanha, craving for existence, arises conjointly with the eternalistic view, which assumes that pleasures are indestructible, since living substance knows no death, continuing throughout eternity. The physical part of the body may become decayed or destroyed, but the spiritual part of it lives as it migrates from one body to another, giving rise to a new entity. The universe may get destroyed, but the spirit of living substance lives on. It is permanent. It is eternal. Outside the teaching of Buddhism, this view is the most popular. Some who hold this view presume that when a man dies, he is raised to heaven, where he lives eternally, or alternately, he is consigned to hell, also eternally, according to the will of God. Others would like to believe that one spirit migrates from one body to another and renews itself according to the workings of one's karma. Another belief is that life is predetermined and fixed, and it goes on eternally according to that predetermination. Briefly stated, a belief in the eternity of the substance of life is sasatadhiti. Under such a notion, life is like a bird hopping from tree to tree, as the old tree on which it has first perched falls into decay. When the physical body dies, the living matter moves out to another body. Under the influence of bhavatanha, supported by the idea of eternity, an individual is gratified with the thought that artha, self, abides by him permanently. He feels that what now exists is himself, confident that what he is now enjoying can also be enjoyed in his future lives. Hence, his attachment to all he sees, hears, tastes, smells, touches, and thinks grows stronger and stronger throughout existence. He not only delights in sense objects which he experiences in the present life, but also in those he hopes to enjoy hereafter. He wants to enjoy life now and he desires to continue enjoying it in his next existence. Having led a happy life as a human being, he goes even further than that, hoping for happiness as a divinity. Thus grows desire. So some would like to be males in all their existences, while others aspire to be females. Such longing are the work of bhavatanha. Yearning for the sense objects to which one has become attached means acceptance of the burden of the khandhas. Bhavatanha is, therefore, craving for sensual pleasures with the belief that the living substance is eternal. Bivavatanha. Briefly put, Uccedaditi is a belief in no hereafter. Everything perishes after death. It is the doctrine preached by Ajita who flourished during the Buddha's time. It runs thus. An individual is made up of primary elements of earth, water, fire, and air. When he dies, the earth elements goes into the mass of the earth. The water elements flows into the mass of water. The fire element changes into heat. The air element flows into the mass of air. All organs of the senses, of seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, touching, and thinking, disappear into space. When an individual, be it a wise man or fool, dies, his body is destroyed and annihilated. Nothing is left after death. While residing in the living body, the earth element manifests itself in the form of hardness or softness. But when the body dies, it leaves it merging itself with the earth outside of it. In other words, the earth element in the dead body turns into material earth, Patavi Rupa, from which trees and plants grow. In like matter, water element in the dead body assumes wetness and fluidity of the material water. The nihilists of the Ajita school do not recognize the existence of consciousness. All the faculties of seeing, hearing, etc. are conditioned by matter. So when they refer to these faculties, they use the term indriya, organ of sense. So when a man dies, his matter is annihilated. His faculties of the senses fritter away in space. No matter who dies, whether a wise man or a fool, his existence is cut off or snuffed out. When a fool dies, there will be no rebirth, and so he need not have any qualms or remorse for his akusala karma, evil deeds. Just as a wise man is unaffected by his kusala karma, wholesome deeds. This briefly is the way of thinking of Ajita. His doctrine appeals to those who revel in committing evil, finding it irksome to do good. As it postulates that there is no life after death, it may be argued that there is life before death. If that be so, it may further be asked, what is life before death? The answer, according to the line of reasoning of Ajita and his ilk, would be the living utter, or satta. It suggests that, despite its views on the four primary elements, atta or satta exists. This is attachment to the self, pure and simple. Those who hold the nihilistic view stipulate that one should not waste time doing meritorious deeds for forthcoming existences, but occupy oneself in full enjoyment of the present existence, the only existence one will have. Craving arising out of this view of non-existence is vibhava tanha, which promotes enjoyment of pleasures while they last, since everything perishes after death. Naturally, this ideology has a great appeal to those who delight in evil, shrinking from the practice of morality and other meritorious ways of life. Since nothing happens after death, there is no necessity to acquire merit. Those getting enamored of this view do not like the idea that life is being constantly renewed and that the effects of good or bad karma follow them in their trail. If no new life occurs after death, all their evil actions will come to an end with the end of their existence, and they will not be held responsible for any consequences, good or bad. In fact, evil deeds done by them will be expunged when they pass away, emerging from them as innocent as a lamb. Vibhava tanha always finds satisfaction in the idea of total annihilation. A man possessed by it is always eager to enjoy all the pleasures of life without any restraint in the commitment of sins. This acceptance of pleasures in the present existence tantamount to the acceptance of the khandhas which will arise in the next existence. Evil actions that accumulate in this life are akusala karmas to which the dying man gets attached. And by dint of these karmas, new khandhas will arise. For so long as craving persists, new existence is inevitable, notwithstanding the nihilistic view. Medical advice says that the patient should not take any food unsuitable for his health, but the patient cannot restrain himself and takes what has been forbidden. The result is that his condition worsens. He might even die. The man afflicted with uccheda ditti is like that patient. Although he believes in no hereafter, his craving for pleasurable objects is so intense that he becomes again whatever his philosophy says. His new existence will hardly stand him in good stead, for he has never done any meritorious deeds before. Every evil action produces an evil result. It may even be put forward that to every evil action, there is an opposite evil reaction. His philosophy has all along been the fulfillment of selfish desires regardless of adverse consequences to others. Let others die so that he may live. So he considers. He has no qualms or remorse for his actions that harm others. As he develops only bad karmas in this way, he will have nothing to hope for except inferior and miserable existences throughout the future of samsara. Thank you, our good friends, for listening to the Dharma. Our spiritual advisor is Venerable K. Ratanasara. Digital Dharma Mission is produced by Dhammakami Buddhist Society and Dhammanusari Friends of Sri Lanka Ramaya Buddhist Temple in Singapore. For more information and to support us, please visit www.digitaldharmamission.com.